Thank you for putting up the sign. Every one of us should be telling everyone we see, once I was lost, and now I'm found. And we didn't get to do that, right? I mean, we didn't find ourselves. We were found by Jesus who came after us. And so, share, that's such a great message to have. This is the place where the lost get found. And we're all found by Jesus. So, thank you for putting that up, and it just gave me that thought this morning. Wanted to share with you. Hey, it's been a couple weeks. I do appreciate the time off. If there really was time off, it kind of was. But definitely time off from being up here, and I miss being up here and sharing with you. So hopefully it'll go well, and I won't have forgotten what I'm supposed to do. How about first, I need to talk to you. One of the things that's going on is that Machias Community Church is starting to generate a reputation of a church that loves its community. You know, we've done some different things. We got to do the memorial. We got to do the church picnic. We had the plant sale. We had the rummage sale. And the word is getting out. This is a group of people, and it's within Machias, people are seeing it, that love their community and love the outreach part of it. So, we have another opportunity. I don't know if you guys have been out to look at what's going on out here in the garden. Do you understand what we're doing with that? You know, we had the rummage sale. We raised about $3,200. We're going to be giving that to the food banks of Snohomish and Lake Stevens. But we are out there raising vegetables and fruit to give to people that can't afford to have their own. Okay, so this is just one more thing of outreach. And so if you haven't been participating in this, now is your chance in a couple of different ways. Next Saturday, we're going to have another garden work day so that you can participate in this outreach of loving our community and growing vegetables and then taking the fruits of that harvest and giving it away. Okay, basically, we just give everything away. And that's what we're supposed to do. So if you can come next Saturday, we're going to have a work day, and usually starts, what, about 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30, something like that? 9:30. And then we just work. Usually we're done by about noon. So come and put that in. And here's the other thing, though. It's getting, and you can correct me if I get this wrong, because I am not a plant person at all. I'm a plant killer person. The garden is getting to the point where it's starting to need weekly maintenance of a small amount, right? So what we're looking for are people who, or maybe a couple at a time, who would volunteer for a week. I'm going to come out here sometime during the week, and we're going to do, Amy will have some things to say, this week we kind of need to weed around these things or whatever. So we're getting to the point close enough where things are starting to grow where we need some weekly kind of maintenance. So if you are interested in that, if you're a garden person and you want to give back to God for all the things he's done for you, and you could volunteer to just come out and you can talk to Amy about the details. Again, I won't know anything, but to just participate in bringing this to its bountifulness so that we can give it away. All right. I'm going to need my kids. One of the things though, in the last couple weeks, we've had Jack preach, and he preached about the Bible being one big unbroken narrative of God's plan for salvation and how we got here and how we broke it and how we suffered for breaking it, how God had a plan to redeem it all and how we could be redeemed and what the long-term future looks like and how that flows in one long story. And then we had last week Chris saying, you know, here we're part of this story and we didn't actually get to live with Jesus. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. We didn't actually get to be there and see the crucifixion and the resurrection, but we have been given through faith and through God's word and through his Holy Spirit, eyes that have been opened, the facts that have been written down for us there in God's word, and we can experience Jesus now. But it said, blessed are those who believe even though they haven't seen. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to go back. And today we're talking about God creating woman. Wow. Okay, we're going to see, how does that affect some different areas of our life? And can we go back to the beginning in Genesis and pull some things out of how God created it and meant it to be in the beginning and see how we've broken it and how we can take those facts and what God intended when he made us and take a look and see how do we need to fix what's been broken. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, I need my kids. I need you all of you, Today's going to be a little different. I hope I don't embarrass anybody. I know I embarrass Paxton every week because he's just kind of older than most of them, and he's getting to the point. Now, this is the way life works, right, Paxton? I mean, you grow up, and then at some point, boom, you graduate off, and there, I can't go up there. Those are little kids, and I know you're getting in that close range, but I am so blessed with Paxton. He's my number one go-to guy. Okay, so here's the deal for today. I don't have a lesson for you, but I want you to know some things, okay? We have you up here. Not because it's fun to watch you, even though it is. And not because everybody out there is just really, you know, thinks it's cool to see you guys come up here. But we have you up here because we truly value you guys and love you. Okay, we do. You are such an important part of our church family, and we are very, very grateful. So when you come up, and then we hear all of, like, you guys come up with the unbelievable answers to the questions that I asked, and we can tell God is working in your life. That gives us all a bunch of hope, that there's hope for the future in a world that seems to be going down the drain. And actually, I'm going to apologize to you right now for the world we are leaving you. I'm so sorry. But God is better than us and greater than us, and so I know He can maneuver you through all the challenges that we've provided for you in the world that you have been given. So sorry about that. But we know God is good. So when they see you guys up here, it's a really big blessing for them. And so I want you to know you are important in our church family, and you are appreciated in our church family, and you guys play a big part of our church family. So here's two things we're going to do, and I hope I don't embarrass you too much. If you guys wouldn't mind turning around and telling everyone your name one at a time. So just turn around so they can see you, okay? Because I want them to be praying for you. Because here's the deal. We come hoping that as a church body, along with your parents, that we are helping you guys to grow and mature in Christ. And from the answers I get from the questions I ask you, I can plainly see, both in Kids Jam and up here, that that is happening. And we hope that as a church, family in general, we are playing a part of that to help you come to know and grow in the love of Christ. Okay, so if you can tell people your name so that they can be praying for you. All right, so you can start.
My name is Paxton.
Okay. Ben? Banya, okay. How about you? That Nolan, yeah. His name is Nolan. How about you, buddy? Can you tell him? All right. Say it real loud.
My name is Myla.
And Myla, okay. And there are some that you can see are not here today. Maybe they're vacationing. We have the Vanover Beck kids are here sometimes. So there's other kids, but I want you to be praying for these kids. I'm not joking. We have given them some hurdles as a world to go over, and they need our prayers. And so I'm going to pray for them right now, and then hopefully you guys will be praying for them the rest of the week. But number two, here's the deal for today. We're going to have a potluck afterwards. Normally, we make you guys go last. Now, with parental guidance where necessary, I want you guys to go first, because we're going to honor you today. Okay? You're going to get to eat first. So when you go downstairs, we're going to pray, and then we're going to remind parents now, you know, we do want to eat too. There's food left over. But you guys are going to get the first pick today, all right? All right, so let's pray. Dear Father God, what a blessing you have given us with these children, these kids who are the next generation of Christians that are going to be out there in your world. Lord, we have not given them an easy road to go down. And so, Lord, just be with them, your Holy Spirit. Guide, protect, and lead them forward in growth and love in you so that they can be out there as a voice in the dark, giving people the message of hope. And in order to do that, they need to be raised up and they need to be matured. And I know they got parents that are doing it, but Lord, help us as a church family to be part of that process and also to genuinely treasure them for who they are. And so, Lord, we thank you for these kids. We thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. And we thank you for how they are impacting our whole church family right here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you guys so much. Okay, now you get to go downstairs. All right. So we know, I got to move this so I can actually see. Whoops. They said Tim is standing today, which hopefully my back will be able to do that. But then, as Andy says, well, that means Tim is also moving. So we have to have the cameras ready to do that, because I do tend to wander around when I'm standing up. All right, so we're going to be talking today about some interesting things. Man and woman, what is that all about? For crying out loud, God, what were you thinking? And we're going to see, because God has already, and this is we go back in chapter 2, right? We're seeing in chapter 1 that God created man and woman. He made, and he said, I created the male and female, and I said, I need you guys to go out and be fruitful and multiply and take over all the world, and you're going to manage the creation that I've given you. And I did it, man and woman. So then back in chapter 2, as we move forward, then he goes back in time and says, okay, we're going to go through some more detail about this. Okay, so we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at what was God's original intent. Why did he create man and woman? Why not just a bunch of dudes? Well, be pretty hard with the anatomy that we got to be fruitful and multiply, and probably dudes would have all killed each other in the first 3 minutes. Anyway. Okay, so we know that God's creating this pair, this couple thing, and he has an intent for them. He has a purpose for them. He has roles for them, and they're different. Okay, but first of all, we have to go to this. Is the Bible the final authority for all faith and practice for Christians? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, we talked about it in Sunday school. Do we live in this little bubble? We talk about this bubble of the reality that we live in, and sometimes the reality needs to be our own little bubble, which is the worldly bubble, needs to be popped so that we can be exposed to the true reality of God. Okay, does God have a way of doing things that's different than what we do things most of the time? Absolutely. And in fact, from the world, is it diametrically opposed oftentimes? Yes, it is. Okay, so we need that pop so we can open up, and through Scripture, since we, as Chris said, you know, we weren't there. We didn't see God. We didn't see Christ being crucified, but we have been given his word so that through the Holy Spirit, in faith, we can see the reality that God has fashioned for us in his world, doing things his way, and he's given us Scripture as the guide in order to be able to do that successfully. Okay, so we've been given Scripture. It's the final authority. Are we doing it all right? No. We stink most of the time at doing it right. And so wouldn't it be cool if we had this, if we just had that, you know, here's God's pathway, or God's pathway is a straight, and it's always the same, always the same. And here's man. And he wanders off, and, oh, right now we think this is true. Oh, well, we learn more. Now we think this is true. And God says, no, no, this is true. This is true. Would you like to stay on that path? Yes, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be cool if there was this little feature that God had given us, and it was like this little click in a buzzer, and it was like, okay, you're on God's path, and then all of a sudden, you're wandering, oh, you're getting all toward the edge, you're going to go into the ditch, and then click, beep, 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 you're out of God's will. Oh, my goodness, what am I doing now? Well, we kind of have that. It's called the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we do. We wander away, don't we? We wander away from what's God's path and God's truth. And have we done that with the relationships between men and women? Yes. I mean, so we're going to be talking about how the beginning was in the aspects of these three things: gender, relationship, marriage, and sexuality. God had a plan for each one of those things. He had a plan for when he created man and woman, and we're going to talk about that. But oftentimes we get it wrong, and what we need to do is we need to go back and talk about it and recognize it so that actually there's the click, beep, 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 and we know we're starting to think wrong. We're starting to think man thinking instead of God thinking in aspects related to those subjects, gender and relationship, marriage and sexuality, because we're getting it wrong as a culture for sure, but we don't want that to enter the church or enter our thinking, and we need to stay on the pathway of God's thinking. It's very, very easy for us to go wrong. So how do we fix the problem? How do we fix that problem? First, you have to know what's true. You have to know what God's plan is, what his truth is, this thing that's always been, it's never changed, and then you have to adhere to it. In order to do that, we need help. But we need to keep talking about it. We need to start looking at, okay, what is the world's bubble of the false reality telling us today, and how do we make sure we aren't falling for it? Right? Because that's what we do. We fall for it. And it's mostly because it's a steady drip, 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 drip of lie. Boom, boom. It isn't this big explosion of lie, because when that happens, most of the time people say, what? No, that's wrong. But when you get the steady little drip, 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 and all of a sudden you're finding yourself, well, maybe that is true. Maybe when they say, you know, you can be a different gender, maybe that is actually the right way to think about it. Well, everybody else seems to be thinking that way. Or at least a lot of people are. Drip, 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 drip. And then sometime in there we have to go click, beep, 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 beep. Nope, that's wrong. And so we need to be looking at ourselves and examining our world around us to make sure that our way is lining up with God's way and not the world's way. And so I think we can get from Scripture, from the beginning, from God's original intent, I think we can gather some information and bolster up and give ourselves a foundation of truth so that we can evaluate what's going on out there. Now, most of you are going to say, well, I don't believe any of that stuff, and I hope that's true. But what about your kids? Do you understand 24/7 they are being fed a lie? 24/7. We live in this information age when it's coming at you, and I'm telling you, well, how do I stay out of trouble here? Okay, so I was watching the debate. We're not going to talk about it. After the debate, there was a guy, and interviewing him about what did Gen Xers think of that debate. You know, what were the issues? And so they had a list of issues. Well, they thought this, and they thought that, and they thought that. And then one of the commentators was saying, why do you think that this issue didn't make the list, and this issue didn't make the list, and this issue didn't make the list? And he says, well, I'll tell you what, because they get their reality off their phone. And it's whatever their peers are saying. Because the guy said, well, do you think they watch the national news? No, they don't watch the news. They get it from the opinions of their peers. And he says, this is what's important to them, because this is what their peers are telling them. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, there's no vetting of this information whatsoever. These people are gathering their reality from talking to other people with misformed brains that haven't yet developed to understand what reality really is. And so I'm going to go, you know, ask my three-year-old grandson over there, hey, Jackson, what do you think we ought to do with the budget deficit? I don't know. Give me another cookie, Grandpa. Is that really how we want to get our truth? And so we have to understand the peril that this information age has put our young people in. So, okay, I get it. You're not falling for the transgender movement yourself, but are your kids, are your grandkids, are their kids? We have to be on guard for God's truth. You know, we're not here to judge the world. The world is going to do what the world's going to do. We are supposed to keep the church pure. But we're also supposed to be beacons of truth, especially to the people we know and love, to say, hey, you know what? There is a truth here, young person. And here it is. And it's come straight from God's word. This is not my opinion. And I don't care what your opinion is. This is God's opinion. And he created it. He gets to make the rules. You don't get to change them. And neither do I. But first, you have to know them. You have to understand. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about these things. So we look back here and we see in Genesis chapter 2, verses, 18. Okay, so God had made man, right? He'd made all the animals, and then he looked around, and this is, again, going back. After chapter 1, he's going back and giving us more detail about the creation of man, and he says, okay, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. I will make a helper fit for him. So it's not good. So this is Adam. And at this point, he's alone. Okay, this is before God created woman, or Eve. You know, Adam is the Hebrew word. You know what it means? I think I told you this before, dirt. Think about it. So God made, and I think I told you this too. I think my wife is probably saying, yeah, I get that. A dirty man. Okay, so then God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper. You know what the helper is? It's actually two words in the Hebrew. It's azer and nachad. And it means two things. I'm going to make an aid or an assistant and a counterpart. So actually the two words in Hebrew aren't helper. It is helpmate. I am going to make a helper mate for him. Okay. And God had created, in fact, he's going to say, he created it, the beasts of the field and man out of dirt. God says it's not good that man should be alone. So now, right now there's just one guy. And is he going to have trouble being fruitful and multiplying, like we know God's going to eventually tell him, on his own? Yes. That will be difficult. God has a plan. He says, I want you. He's going to eat me. This is earlier. He said this, but now we're going back and looking at the details. And he said, look, be fruitful and multiply. I want you to have dominion over all these things that I've created and manage it for me because I made you in my image and you need work to do. And this is part of your creative process. And I want you to run. In fact, I made the whole thing for you two or you, this species. Everything is here to create this environment for you, man and woman, and because I want you to thrive here, man, and I put you in a perfect place, and I gave you the Garden of Eden, and everything is wonderful, and there's nothing wrong, and everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. But he still needs to make woman in order to have that all work. Okay, now out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field. So, what has he made all the animals out of, according to this? Out of the dirt, right? So, he created things out of the dirt, and then he actually said, yeah, earlier we'd seen he created man out of the earth and the dirt as well. So he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. Now you think this is kind of funny. Why do you think God would do this? Okay, so he creates all these animals. And we got to think, there's a lot of animals, right? A lot of animals. And so I don't know if he's marching them by one or two by two or whatever, but he's bringing them through there, right? And he's saying, look, I want you to look at these animals and give them a name. Why do you think God did that? Why was God marching them through? Because he's going to say right after this, the conclusion in 20. See, I think God was saying, look, Adam, I need you to recognize, before I make you a mate, I need you to recognize your need for it. And so he marches them all by, you know, and Adam gives them names. And yeah, how did he do that? You know, what did he come up with? I just wondered if, you know, after Eve was made, he's like, hey, Adam, that big thing over there, what'd you call that one? I think I called that an elephant. Why'd you call him that? I don't know, looked like an elephant. So I don't know why he named him what he did, but he did, and he brought them all by. But we see in verse 20, man gave names, the man, Adam, gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So God made it very clear. I made all these wonderful things. I made this wonderful place. But Adam, you're still missing something. And God said, it's not good. It's not good. It is not kind, not pleasant, not prosperous, not well that you are alone. And so I'm going to make you a mate. Okay, so we go to the next one. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and man. And while he slept, he took out one of his ribs and closed up that place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made it into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And he said, so then the man said, so, okay, a couple things are going on here. So God says, I'm going to make woman. Does he make woman out of dirt? No, he doesn't make woman out of dirt. And did he make all the animals and the fowl and man and Adam out of dirt? He says, that's what he did. Why does God change his creative process when he creates woman? Well, it's going to tell us. And the rib that God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then man said, this at last is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And so God says, I'm going to give you a mate, but I am going to make sure you understand that she is part of you, not part of the dirt like everything else. I'm going to create this so that it comes from you, and Adam's going to call her woman. And I think, why did he call her woman? And I'm thinking, you know, God not only says he brought her to the man, he's going to trot her by like he did the animals, and Adam's looking like, whoa, man, that's good. No, I think woman's something else, but... And so he does that, and he brings her, and Adam realizes right away, this is something special. This is not one of the animals that God made. This is something that came from me, and God created it especially for me. And it's she's the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. God had this special thing. Now, what we know is, were they different? Were they? See, here's where we get into problems these days. Were they different? Did God make Eve to be exactly like Adam? No, he says, in fact, I'm going to make your helpmate counterpart, so you're going to fit together like a puzzle. And there's going to be some things that you can do that she can't do, and there's going to be things she can't do that you can do. You have to eat. We're going to go downstairs, and there are going to be times when this works way better than this. If you're going to eat soup with this, you're in trouble. This one is going to work. If you're going to scoop up a bunch of applesauce, or maybe, I don't know, even some meatballs, but this one is going to be a lot better for stabbing the meat, right, and grabbing stuff. And God says, look, I'm going to make you a knife and a fork, or a spoon and a fork, and you're going to be complementary, so there's some things that the fork can't do very well that the spoon's going to do really well, and there's some things the spoon can't do very well, but the fork's going to be great at it, and I'm going to put you guys together so that some of the weaknesses you have are going to be met by this, and some of the weaknesses this has are going to be met by this, and you're going to come together and be combined, but you're going to be different. You're going to be different. There's no question about it. You're going to be different. In fact, we see some of the differences, and there's different roles, and God says, I'm giving you different roles, but only in certain instances. We're going to talk about that if I can get through all of this. Men and women were created different. See, that's one of the things that we should be going, click, boop, 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 because in our culture, that means bad. In our culture, it's like if there's some differences, it's clearly some sort of a value judgment. And if you can't be exactly like this, then you're actually telling me I'm less than and you're more than. Well, that wasn't God's plan. He said, I'm making you different for different roles that I'm giving you. And so what are some of those roles? Well, now we got to look at this. I believe this is true, that it is, we see descriptions of the roles of men and women being different in these areas. First of all, I mean, we know they're physically, psychologically, mentally different somewhat. But how does that relate in the family, marriage, and church relationships? Okay. When God, you go through and you look at Scripture, and you'll see when God is saying women, specific women, and specifically men, almost always, he's talking about two different scenarios, family and church. So are there instances out in the world where women could be do the same kinds of things that men do, and that's fine? Absolutely. But when it comes to the family structure that God created, he says, no, I have a role. Man, you're going to be the leader, the protector, and the provider. Well, what if I stink at it? Doesn't matter. That's your role. And women, you're going to be the nurturer, the caregiver, the organizer. Read Proverbs 31, and you'll see that women have an enormous amount of things that God has given them in creating what I want you to go forth and multiply and take over. And in order to do that, I'm going to put you in family units. In order for those family units to thrive the way I originally designed them is, I'm giving you complementary but different abilities so that you can be successful at doing this. And so we see very clearly. Now, you have to understand, this is somewhat in generalities, but I think you'll see that most of these are true, but it's not always the same. But take a look at some of the differences. Words. They say every man has 12,000 words a day, and every woman has 20,000 words a day. Okay, more words. And so there's something going on there. You know, I come home from work, and I've used up my 12,000, and she's got about 10,000 still left. And it's I filled up my bucket during the day, and I'm going to dump my bucket on you when I get home. And it's like, hun, I've had enough. But no, I need to listen. I need to vent to you about all the things the kids did. And it's pretty much for us guys, like, click. Because we're different. We see things differently. We don't have as many words. Okay, what about multitasking and single focus? Ooh. Is this obvious in most cases? Now, it's not always the same, but I'm telling you, physiologists have studied the brain, and a woman's brain can think about more things at once than men. That's just absolutely true. And so God's given her all these things he wants her to do. And then here's the guy. He's like, hey, God, I need to get rid of all the chatter and focus on this thing when I am being the provider, protector, leader. And I was this, and it used to drive my wife nuts, and probably could still do it, but I had a list, and I lived off a list all my life as an adult. And I was running businesses and was way too busy, and the only way I could function was that I had a to-do list, and I would have a master to-do list and then a to-do list for today. And so I would prioritize all my master to-do list, and I would make it into a to-do list for today, and I would start checking those babies off, and if something blew up and became an emergency, well, then it came off this list and went to the top of this list. But I could only function in life by focusing on the thing that was the most priority, and then I would come home, and my wife would say, well, we really need to do this, and we really need to do this. And I'm thinking, that's like three lists away, hon. I'm not even going to think about that because I'll just combust, right? And so, but women can like multitask and think about all these things. And yet, as a guy, I had to be just stay focused. Now, did that help out in the original design that God had placed for man and woman in this family unit to say, you're the provider, protector, and leader, and you need to evaluate things like this and prioritize, and woman can just deal with everything at once? Evidently, with kids, that's going to be necessary. And men like to talk it out, or women like to talk it out, men like to think it out. And this is absolutely true, right? I come home, and basically she goes on and on about the things that were going on each day, and I'm thinking, well, all I'm thinking about is, well, I know we could fix it if we did this, and I start to tell her about that, and then I say, well, if this happened, well, what I'm thinking is she's actually asking for a solution, and she's not asking for a solution. She's just saying, look, I need to vent, okay, because we're different. So guys, don't always try to come up with a solution. Just listen, nod your head, and think, oh, that must have been so difficult for you. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. But, you know, I could probably fix that in about 3 seconds. Okay, men are more aggressive generally, right? Not always. Again, there's some real passive women, passive men and more aggressive women. But that's one of the traits that God's given man so he could fulfill his role as the protector, provider, leader. And we're performance-oriented. Women are more relationally oriented. We're risk-takers. They're cautious. They're more patient. I'm less patient. That part I know is true, at least for me. But so we just see that we could know from real life that there are enormous amount of differences that God created within men and women to fulfill the task that they gave. But remember, this is basically limited from Scripture. All I could find really is, okay, when it's differences between the two genders, it's based on family and God's family. Okay. So, because all of us are said, we're all supposed to submit to one another. We're all supposed to love one another. We're all supposed to be thinking of the other person first. You know, that's all from Scripture. So, but that applies to everybody, man and woman and child. Okay, so when we look at the differences that God has, it's almost always to do with the family relationship and the church family relationship. Because there's things in Scripture, right, that tell us, and we have a hard time with this, especially in our culture. No, women can't be pastors. That's what I believe it says. Now, you can go online, which I have done. And then I tried to find every theologian who was willing to talk in public about what you feel Scripture says about the woman being a pastor. And there are some I really respected that say, well, no, I think it's okay. But we see from Scripture that there are some things that the Bible says we have a role for men and we have a role for women. Okay. And in areas, they're different. Okay. So let's wrap this all back into, okay, what are we dealing with now? God made men and women different for a reason, to be complementary, to fulfill the roles and the goals that he gave them as that person. Now, our society, our culture, the world is saying anything that isn't absolutely equal is a judgment a value judgment against the other, and the term toxic masculinity is basically anything that's male is oppressive and mean and dominating, and it's all bad. And so here's what we're going to do, culture. We're going to feminize our men and masculinize our women so that everybody meets in the middle and we're all equal all the time. And don't tell me men can do this better, and don't tell me women can do this better, and don't tell me women are different this way and men are different this way. No, we're all equal. That's the only way we can find equity in this culture. And it's a big fat lie. God made us different for a reason. I am so grateful. And so we pervert it, right? And when we're dealing with it and we're seeing our children being told all of these lies, when God says, no, I have a plan. My plan was perfect. Now, did we break it? Did they break it? I mean, it didn't even last one generation. We don't even know. Some people say probably 15 minutes later after God made them, they ate the apple or whatever. It wasn't really an apple. And one of the things about the curse was what? Or two things. You're going to have to work harder, buddy, in order to be the provider, because I'm going to make the weeds grow. And it's going to be hard. And nature is going to be fighting against you on every turn. And he says to woman, one of the consequences is you're going to be underneath your man, and he is going to lord it over you. That's what it says. That's the curse. Okay, so we're broken. Is it any wonder why we get it all wrong, right? Okay, so what's our goal here? Our goal is to get back to the biblical concept of men and women and how do they relate in real life. And so we're relating to people as our wives and our spouses and within our family, but we're relating to other women. And so we got to look at God's rules and say, okay, there are times when there has to be submission between the woman and the man, and we see that in the family, we see that in the church family. But within our church family, some of you, okay, we're submitting to the elders. Let's just say you weren't my church family, and I just walked out into the store, and I happen to come see you, and I come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, you know what? You need to submit to me. Why is that? Well, I'm a man, and you're a woman. That would be inappropriate. And it would be, right? Because that's not where that submission, so we can take those things and say, men are better than women, and we're going to be, and we can't let you vote, you can't hold this office, you can't do this job, because we're men, and by golly, we're better. Is that what God intended when he made men and women different, with different strength, different weaknesses? No. He made them to be one. In those instances, in those relationships, and we're going to see that in the next verses. Okay, so God creates man, and then he creates woman out of man. And they are to be bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You are to be part of me. This is such a beautiful and almost mystical, magical thing. And it's talking about, so we talked about gender, right, and gender. And so I didn't talk about it this time, but, you know, this whole gender fluidity and being thinking that there's more than two. Did you see any more than two? Did you? Was there in there where God says, well, I'm creating man and woman and then this unlimited variety of other genders? Did he? No, he didn't. Okay. So I'm not going to talk too much about that. But even within, okay, we recognize there's just men, there's just women, we're still having problems with the relationships, and we're still misusing the authority that we have as a man, and we're trying to exert that authority on women that aren't our wives or aren't in our church family, and God says, no, that's not right. You're to love one another. You're to be submissive. We should all submit to one another. We should all be thinking about each other's needs before our own. But then we see in Scripture later on, in that we're going to talk about marriage, right? That God says, hey, I got some rules within marriage, and it's right. Woman, respect your husband. Husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church, sacrificially. Okay, so along with responsibility, along with authority, comes responsibility and accountability. And I told you this one before, you know, in the husband-wife relationship, when you have a problem, you have a problem. When your wife has a problem, you have a problem. God gave you the authority. He's also giving you the responsibility. Okay, so here it is. God creates man, and then he creates woman out of man. Therefore, and why would he say this next? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Right away, he's saying, you know, what I intended you for was to become a family. And within that family, I'm going to create, we're going to meld these two together, and you're going to be a spork. The woman fell first. That was not intentional. Oh, I have this plan, and I need you guys to recognize that you're different for, and you're different for a reason, and you can do this together, and you can meld together, because that's how you're supposed to do it. And it's going to work the best when you do it this way. And so, hopefully, as I walk down the street, and maybe one of you guys sees me, and you look at me, and you say, hey, there goes the Tim half of Tim and Carol. That's what I am. We were watching a documentary about, I can't remember, it's about this big freighter in the Bay of Louisiana, in the Bay of New Orleans, and it had lost its power, and it was coming in, it was crashing into the dock. Well, it ended up, they couldn't stop it, and it's like the one that hit the bridge, right? It came in, and it showed the video they had, and it ripped apart an entire hotel right off. I mean, just took one half of it right off. And the rooms and the beds and stuff were falling out and all this stuff was like that. That's what I'd look like without my wife. Because the two have become one flesh. Now, I know. I mean, people lose their wives sometimes. I don't know how they deal with that. But you got to understand, that's who you are. As man and wife. That's the when God says there's marriage, this is what I'm intending it to be. You two become one. You two become one. Have we messed that up? Yeah. But I'm thinking, hey God, I got this plan. I got a really good idea. I think you're gonna love it. Let's do this. Let's start a reality show. There's a guy, and he's gonna get 12 or up to 25 women, and he's gonna go out there and talk to them all and give some of them roses, and some of them are gonna be deleted, and then there's actually gonna be overnight sleepover so he can road test some of them ahead of time and see if that's the one he really wants. And then we're gonna get all the way down to the end, and we're gonna just completely demolish the sanctity of marriage and the relationship and the two becoming one flesh. And what do you think, God? And in the words of Home Improvement, I don't think so, Tim. Because we violated the sanctity of marriage, this thing that God has created. And now it's just something we just do. And hey, if it don't work, fine, we'll get another one. There's lots of reasons, and I know, you know, it happens. But God says, what God put together, let no man tear asunder. That, because when that happens, I'm literally ripping half of you apart. And so when we see and we take this marriage thing casually and we think this is just something that man can decide upon, not God, and then we should be seeing this click, beep, 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 beep. We have left the pathway of God. So I'm not saying in circumstances, but at least in thinking, understand as a Christian, do I value the holiness and sanctity of marriage the way God intended? Even though sometimes it doesn't work out, I understand that. But are you thinking, oh, well, big deal, I can just get another one? And if that kind of thinking seeps into the Christian's mind, you should hear the click and the beep. Because that's not the witness that we're giving our young people. Hey, don't even get married. Just move in together. Because marriage isn't important. Well, according to God's plan for families and women and men, it is. So we've talked about gender. We talked about marriage a little bit. I'm running out of time. And then the man and wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. You know what he's talking about there? I believe that this is the time when sexuality was innocent. I mean, they were going to be sexual, no question about it. But there was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing dirty. There was nothing nasty. There was nothing to be turn our heads away and be sure. Until man broke himself. And now he has all these unintended wrong ideas of sexuality and lust. Okay, this is one we have to think about. We are sexualizing everything in our culture. Your children, your grandchildren, these generations are hearing a message about identity and sexuality and marriage that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. Now, there's, you know, did God know that this was going to be a problem for us? Yes. You recognize that there's almost no other subject that has as much to do with the do's and don't do's in Scripture than this? So God recognized this was going to be, I gave you these urges. I gave you these desires. Originally, you were going to be walking around naked and not think anything wrong about it. But now that you're broken, you are, and it is a very, very big problem for you to keep this area of sexuality within the bounds of the truth of God. Right? Because there's a, Tim, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't even think it. We got to look at these and recognize when we are seeing messages coming in from, and it's, some of them are really subtle. It's like a car with all this manly stuff and a really beautiful, scantily clad woman. How do those fit? Well, we just want you to watch the commercial. Subtly, everything is being sexualized. And so when your kids are out there, they're seeing that day after day after day, time after time after time. You can put the brakes on and say, hey, God has a plan. Is it there to make it hard for you? No. Is it there because God knows your problems and your weaknesses and how easily you stumble and recognizes that this is not good for you? They're finding it out more and more and more and more. Psychologists are saying, hey, you know what? Have you heard the term body count? I was listening to secular radio, and they were having three of the people on the radio were having this conversation between themselves. And basically it was saying, okay, when is it appropriate to have sex with the people that you're dating? And if you have gone beyond the third date, you either need to break up or have sex with them. Literally. And they had a term for it, like a third dater. Are you a third dater? I mean, because that's the absolute limit, man. If you haven't gone to bed with them by then, you need to break up because they're going to be expecting it. And that's just the norm, really. That's the norm, that we have taken this physical, intimate relationship and turned it into something that it has. It's like, it's more common than, hey, just shaking your hand, or, hey, I just want a back massage. Well, that's all it means. There's no meaning to this. Well, God says, no, the two are becoming one flesh. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I think, where it says, hey, when you join yourself to somebody else that's not your spouse, you're basically marrying them. Because that's the two becoming one flesh. This is part of this relationship that God created to be wonderful and beautiful and create a team that could fulfill the goals that he had given them and the roles that he had given them. And now we are abusing it in every single way possible, including now I want to sleep with whoever, whenever, whatever. It's destroying people's lives. We can't let it inside the church. You can't let it inside your mind. So the little beeper has to go off. Right, and pretty much, I mean, dudes, you can't walk around, you can't see anything without this subject coming up. And it already says, it's probably, hopefully, a man thinks about sex about every 6 seconds. That's what it is. We already have the problem. And the society said, look, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you with this problem. We're going to put that temptation in front of you all the time because it sells. That's the only thing we care about. Okay, so we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. So the rest of Scripture, as God makes this, so this is the way it was supposed to be. It's no longer like this. And so as Christians, we cannot let these thoughts seep into our lives. And so there's other passages of Scripture. I don't have time to go about how do we deal with this. There's no temptation that's not uncommon to man. There's always a way of escape, right? So God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us some things that we can, but we have to recognize how dangerous it is out there as we start to adopt or even listen to or even take in the world's view of gender and marriage and sexuality. God created us one way for a reason, and we broke it. And now the consequences are everybody is susceptible to going off track. So we want to go back to this, and we're going to look at Scripture, and we're going to say, okay, God, This was what we saw today. This was your original intent. How do I get back there? Well, number one, you're going to have to be completely restored. And it's not going to happen in this lifetime. But in the meantime, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you each other. And you have to stay the course. Don't compromise. And flee from temptation. Here we see it. This was God's original intent. We have to get back there some way. All right, let's pray. Father, these are tough situations for us, and we can clearly see that this was not the way you intended it from the beginning. And so even in this ever-increasingly wicked culture that we live in, we see more and more we're going off track with the way things are supposed to be. So Lord, we just give this to you, and we need your help in every second, every day to get back on track, to stay on track, for that beeper to go off when we're starting to approach the edge of what is supposed to be, and bring us back, Lord. And you're only doing it for our own good and your glory. We know that. We know that these are not here to just make us feel bad about ourselves, because you know what we need. You know we need your truth. You know in order to find joy and peace and happiness in this life that we need your truth, and we are going hand over fist to try to find something else to substitute, and it never works. So Lord, keep us ever vigilant, that our truth alarm would go off when the lie shows up. We thank you and we praise you that you care enough that you would do that if we seek your will and your word in your word. Lord, we are so grateful, and we give you all the praise and the glory for how you're going to work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.